Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club. Welcome to Blondie the Brit. This week we are interviewing Arlene Gonzalez, a mother of three with a full-time job who uses her spare time to weave magic on the page. She loves bringing characters to life through her words, and her series Out of the Dark has just been picked up by Limitless Publishing and will be released soon. Welcome, Arlene.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're so glad to have you.
I'm excited to be here with you.
Yay! So let's start right at the beginning. I believe your son was an inspiration for you in your writing career. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Oh, my son, as a youth, had trouble deciding on what he wanted to do, which direction he wanted to go. So we were on a really long drive one day. I used to like to take him for drives to talk to him, to have that one-on-one time. And I was telling him that whatever he chose, whatever career he wanted to do, take on, I would always have his back. And my kids always grew up listening to me talk about how I wanted to write a story, how I had this story in my head, that story in my head. So he turned around and looked at me and he said, "Well, what about you, Mom?" He goes, "When are you going to do what you want? When are you going to write the stories in your head?" And I looked at him and I said, "You know, Eric, that's a good question." Sadly, a year later, he passed away.
Oh, sorry.
So I am doing this in honor of him as well as myself, because I have wanted to write ever since I was about 11. But it is with him in mind that I finally put pencil to paper, or fingers to keyboard, as I say. It is honoring him and his life and his dreams that I finally got the story out.
Oh, that is great. I love hearing things like that. You know, your spirit of your son is coming through your words onto the page. I love that. That's a great inspiration.
Yes, and I use his name in this first trilogy that I am writing, Out of the Dark. And a lot of the chapters, a lot of the scenes that have him in it, I let my feelings show. I pour my heart out in these scenes with him in mind. So I've had a lot of fans message me saying, "You really gutted me with this scene." And I tell them, "Well, then I guess I did my job."
Yeah,
that's what exactly I was going for.
Yeah, that's what you want, though. What was that phrase, Suzanne? You know, if the author feels it, what is that?
Yeah, it tears in the author, tears in the reader.
Yeah, that's good. Exactly. Good stuff.
Yes, yeah. I've had fans message me saying that I made them cry to where they couldn't even turn the page because they were still crying. I guess I did my job then, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and what a wonderful legacy for your son. That, you know, that you're still able to, you know, bring him into the book and be part of, feels that connection with him through what you're doing. And that's really wonderful. What a wonderful way to honor him. So tell us a little bit about your trilogy, the books that you're talking about here. And also, you just got picked up by publishers. Talk a little bit about that journey of the book and, you know, how you started the trilogy and then how you went on to becoming picked up by this publisher.
The trilogy, Out of the Dark, is about Aiden Stefan, who is a 28-year-old, the highest top paid male model. I used different muses when creating his character. He is an Italian in the book. He is from Italy originally, but when he meets Alexis Moore, who is 23, they are both in New York City. Alexis is moving from Seattle, Washington to New York City because her family and her parents and her brother were murdered at the hands of her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
She witnessed the murders. She has no family left. So she decides to put as much distance between her and Seattle, Washington as possible. So she moves 2,800 miles from Seattle to New York City. Along with her goes her best friend since junior high, Shannon, and they settle into an apartment. Alexis looks for a job. On her first day at work, She lands a job at the Harlow Talent Agency. On her first day at work, she meets Aiden Stefan. He's used to getting what he wants, of course. He is gorgeous, blue eyes, wavy, dark brown hair, world's most gorgeous man. Millions of women want him, but he wants Alexis. He woos her. Of course, she falls for his charming ways, his Italian accent, and she loses her heart to him. They have to go through so much to just be able to be together because she learns that he's dealing with his own demons from his childhood. She's also still reeling from the loss of her parents and her brother. It is a really good story, not just in the erotic sense, but also in a really heartfelt sense because they both come from tragic past and they're trying to overcome them. And together, they are trying to find their way out of the dark. The first book is titled Out of the Dark. The second book is titled Finding You Out of the Dark. The third book, which is the one that I am writing now, is called With You Out of the Dark.
Is it all the same characters in the trilogy, or are there different characters coming in and out, sort of thing?
It is basically the same characters.
Okay.
Now, there will be some new characters coming in book two, and another few new characters coming in book three. But the main characters are the same ones.
Cool.
And I can't tell you if it's going to be a happy ending or not, because the ending, I have it going two ways right now in my head. So it could go either way.
Ooh, that's cool.
yeah.
And again, like I've said, so many fans have messaged me saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. They want the characters to, of course, have their happily ever after, but, you know, you just never know what's going
to
happen.
Yep, author gets to choose that stuff.
That's true.
You're in charge, man.
And sometimes the characters, they sort of tell you what they want to do. I mean, sometimes you don't get a choice.
That's true.
You know, they take it a certain way.
There's times that I can be driving or I can be asleep and the characters are screaming at me to do something else. And I literally have to get up from bed to go to the computer and type down what they're saying, you know, before they change their mind because they have seemed to take a life of their own.
Yeah.
I am not in control of them anymore. They are in control of the book now.
That's so much fun when that happens. I love that. And it makes you just want to get there and write it too, you know.
Exactly.
It's like, wow, let's see what's going to happen. Let me go write my book.
Cool. And yes, I started out as an indie publisher, which was great. I love being an indie publisher, and I love even more now being picked up by Limitless Publishing. They are a really great company. They have welcomed me with open arms. All the authors that they have with them have all welcomed me real warmly. They like to call us Ohana, which is family in Hawaii.
Oh, that's from Lilo and Stitch.
Exactly.
I love that movie.
So they like for us to consider ourselves as Ohana, which is really nice. They've all been real helpful. They've all been welcoming. They've all been right there with me. For every little question I have, they're right there, you know, giving me advice, which it really helps a lot.
Yeah.
So it's given me a chance to look at publishing on both sides of the fence, from indie to traditional. And I like both sides of the fence, but this was my goal, to be picked up by a publishing company.
Yeah, exactly.
It is, you know, it's a journey in itself, and I love it. So far, the journey's still going, and...
How long ago did they pick you up?
They just picked me up, actually, last month.
Oh, see? Cool. So you're at the very beginning of
about a month.
Yay.
And it's exciting. Congrats. I'm really excited.
And how did you actually connect with them?
Actually, I had wanted to submit my first book to them, but I never got a chance to. They were having a contest, and I never got the chance to get into the deadline of the contest. But I recently, a few months ago, went ahead and just gave them my manuscript, and I thought, what the heck? What would it hurt? Let me see if they'll pick up the book or if they even like it. And turns out they did like it, which, yay for me.
Yes, congrats. That's great.
They liked it, and they wanted to publish it. So I gave them the full manuscript, because as you know, you can only send in the first few chapters. So they requested the full manuscript, and I gave it to them, and I gave them the manuscript for book two as well. And they liked both books, and I'm about to give them the manuscript for the third book.
Wow, that's wonderful.
That'll close up the trilogy.
Good deal.
Exactly. Wow. I'm happy. I'm excited. Pinching myself, actually.
Yeah, it's amazing. How does it work? As far as do they pay you royalty? I mean, because is it like a hybrid publishers where you kind of split the profit? How does it work as far as business wise with them?
Well, you do split the profits. They pay for the editing, the marketing,
the format, do all that stuff.
The covers. Yeah, they take care of all that stuff, which is good for me because it doesn't come out of my pocket.
Exactly. Because these hybrid publishers are.
Because, you know, being an indie publisher, all that comes out of your pocket when it comes to the covers, the editing, the formatting, marketing, all that comes out of your pocket. Being in the traditional publishing, you don't have to worry about that coming out of your pocket.
Yeah, that's true.
Both sides of the fence have their pluses and their minuses. And I'm happy to say that I have been on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, it's a good place to be. Absolutely.
Yeah, fabulous. Cool. Yeah. So tell us, you have three children, you're a busy lady, you also have a full-time job. Tell us about the challenges of writing with a full-time job and with, you know, a whole family on your, I mean, I believe you support your children alone, right? You're a one parent.
I'm one parent to person.
Yeah.
I am both the mother and the father.
That's a lot of hats that you're wearing there. How do you do that?
And I tell people that I wear so many hats. I wear the hat of being a mother, the hat of being a grandmother. I have six grandchildren.
Oh wow.
My son who passed away left a daughter, so she looks exactly like him. I have some of him in her too. But it helps that my kids are grown. The two children that I have left, they're both grown and in their own homes. So I don't actually take care of them.
Right.
My job, it is a regular Monday through Friday job, and it is a full-time job. So, of course, you come home tired, and you don't always want to sit down in front of the computer after coming home from a hard day of work. But you do because you love it. As I'm sure you know, this is not something that – writing is not a job. It's a passion of mine. I love bringing characters to life. I love bringing the story to life. I love it that there's people everywhere that are reading my words that I wrote that came from my head. And that gives me really, it gives me a big joy.
Well,
it's hard to explain, but it brings me joy to know that there's people reading my words.
Yeah, well, it's very inspirational too, you know, to just write it and have it stuck tucked away in a folder. But when you're getting like letters from people that say how you've moved them to tears, you know, that's a great thing, a great way to connect with people.
It is.
Yeah.
And it makes me really happy to know that people are reading them. It makes me happy to know, not that they're crying, but it makes me happy to know that they get where I'm coming from, that they felt what I felt.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wonderful.
It's not going to be the end of Alexis and Nathan's story because there is going to be another book that's going to be happening 10 years down their lives.
Oh, interesting. So it's more than a trilogy, or is that a new set of series?
It's going to be part of this trilogy, but just 10 years down the road.
So is that the third book, or is that you're talking about a fourth book?
I'm talking about a fourth book.
Ooh.
Wow.
So that makes it a series then, not a trilogy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm told.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. See, that's what my book just happened too. It was three books, and then thanks to Suzanne, she's like, you really need to split this up. So now I'm like, it's not a trilogy. Now it's four. That's good though. That's
exciting.
Exactly.
And there might be a fifth because the trilogy is mainly in Alexis's point of view. And then the fourth book, like I said, it's 10 years down the road for them. But then I want to put another book in Aiden's point of view. I'm looking at a fifth also.
Sounds good. This is the life of an author, though. You're moving towards the future, looking at what you're going to do next. That's very exciting. I love it. Good job.
Yeah, and I've also got another trilogy that I'm outlining right now that's actually going to take place where I work. And I did speak. I had a couple of meetings already with the owners of the company, got their blessing, and I am going to be using their company as the background to the next trilogy that I wrote.
Oh, that's cool. So while you're at work, you can be like coming up with plots. Ah, that's exciting.
Exactly.
Did they make you sign anything saying you would make them look good or something?
He wants to see the manuscript before I publish it, and I said I would let him read it. And I told him, I said, now I have to warn you, it's not just a romance, it's an erotic romance.
So and now your boss is going to see that. That's
what he just looked at me and he turned redder than a tomato. I had to forewarn you.
By the way, you may not want to see all this from my brain. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. And they actually have a young son who works there with them. And I approached him as well. And I said, and I'd like to use you as the main character.
Oh, my God.
And he looked at me and he didn't know what to say for a minute.
I bet.
But then he gave me his blessing. He said, okay. So I told him, I said, I have to have a sit down with you. Get to know you.
Yeah.
Get to know your likes and dislikes and what you do on a day-to-day basis or on a weekend basis so I can get some background on you.
Oh.
And he did. He sat down with me and he gave me all his likes and dislikes and what he does. And he said, now, I'm really shy. I'm not a romantic type of guy. And I said, oh, I don't think so. I said, from what I see about you, you are kind of romantic. And I said, I could go look for a hot millionaire son somewhere else. I said, but why would I when we have one here with you?
Oh, that's cool.
That made him blush to no end.
Well, that's really neat, though, that you have your muses right there.
Exactly.
That'll be interesting, though, because it's erotic. It does add a whole nother layer of interest to work, you know? You're allowed to go there and think dirty thoughts. And they know what you're thinking because they know what you're writing, though.
Yes, that's and my boss is always telling me, I don't put anything past you, Arlene.
That's good. What an exciting thing that you've brought your work life and your writing life together. You've merged them into one.
Exactly.
That's fun. That's fun.
So now everybody at work is looking at me like, you're not going to write that, are you?
And yeah.
You never know.
They're all a little nicer to you now, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
I'm like, I don't want to be in that book. And in the factory, and now, you know, I'm the bad guy or something. Oh, that's fun. You got yes. Such power, Arlene. I love it.
Don't you?
That is so cool.
And I tell them, watch what you do and say, because I've always got a pen and paper with me.
That's right. I'm listening. Oh, my God. That's funny.
But I am going to use the company name. I did get that blessing.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and then it's like a real, you know, the... You should definitely do a book signing at the factory. You know,
that is a really good idea.
Because all those people are going to want, they're all going to want to read that book to see if they're in there.
They're going to want to read it, yeah.
Figure out who these people are. Hey, wait, that so-and-so guy, that's our boss. You know, like that kind of thing. They're going to, that's going to be cool.
Did you really do that?
Yeah. Is this real? Did she tell you about that story or is that made up?
Really? Well, actually, everybody at work is reading Out of the Dark. They all have a copy of the first and second book already.
That's great. You've got to do a book signing.
They know my style of writing.
Yeah, you got to set up some kind of a special book signing or whatever. That would be great. Cool. All right, so you've just been picked up by your publisher. When are they expected to be published? At least the first one. Are they doing them all at once, or are they just going to do the first one and then kind of layer them out?
Well, right now, the schedule that we have is they're going to do the first two. They're going to edit it, re-edit, because I'm, like I said, I'm adding scenes. They're going to re-edit at the end of August, format it, do the cover designs. So we're looking at November as being the re-release dates for both first books.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, so by the end of this year, we should have the complete trilogy.
Well, that's exciting. And so right now they're having you redo edits and they're coming up with the covers and doing all the set up for promotions right. And all that good stuff. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and maybe you'll learn some things from them too. You know, there's certain ways I don't know, whenever I have somebody new edit my stuff, there's a whole bunch of new things. I'm like, huh, I didn't know that, you know. Bring to light some of that stuff. All right, now tell us what your social media strategy is. You were mentioning before we started recording that you have some PAs that help you with some of that stuff. Tell us how you came about with that part of it and what other social media outlets that you're using and what you find successful.
Well, the different media sites that I'm using are Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I have my Author Central through Amazon.
Uh-huh.
the author page. I have a fan page also through Facebook, and I have a street team page. That one is a secret group. It's only the ladies that actually market my books that are have access to that team right there.
Right.
But I do try to be on Instagram and Twitter every day just to let them know what I'm doing, to let them know how things are progressing.
Mm-hmm.
Also on my author page, I like to release little teasers on a weekly basis just to keep them, you know, intrigued, let them know what's going on.
Good. That's interesting.
Right now I'm releasing little teasers for book 3. So there's different ladies messaging me saying that they can't wait for the 3rd book. And when I did let everybody know that I was picked up by Limitless Publishing, everybody congratulated me. They were really happy for me and were also in shock because I told them now the books are getting revamped, re-edited, scenes are getting added, and they were surprised, but they were happy.
Yeah. See, now all the people that read it once have to go back and figure out what they've added, you know. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And the ones that haven't, you know, will be intrigued, you know, to find out what this is all about. You know, the publisher picked you up, and, you know, it sounds like you're doing really well at creating the buzz with giving them the teasers and getting people excited about it. So that's great advice for other authors if you're not doing that. Now, do your PAs create little graphics for you, or are you the one that takes?
They do.
Yeah.
No, the PA that has been with me from day one is Melinda Sue. She's in California. She has been with me from day one. She is my rock. I call her my queen of diamonds because she comes up with some teasers that you would not believe that leave me breathless. She'll send them to me and say, is this okay? What do you think of this? And I'll be like, oh, my God, I love that.
Good. That's the kind of person you need.
She's a gem.
Yeah.
I love her. I could not be able to do this without her. Lynn has come on board a couple of months ago, and she is another one like Melinda. She comes up with some teasers that they blow me away. They'll both send them to me to get my approval first before they put them on the pages, on the walls. And I tell them, I don't know where y'all come up with these things, but oh my God, they leave me. They blow me away with the teasers that they come up with the graphics, the art, the work that they come up with. I'm like, I couldn't have done that myself. And it really helps because I don't have to worry about doing any of that. All I have to worry about is writing.
Yeah.
They take care of everything else.
That is great. Give you the focus that you want on the books. That's perfect.
Exactly. I tell them, y'all are the ones doing the hard work. I'm just doing the writing.
There's it's almost as much work to do all the marketing and whatever. Now, you mentioned Facebook groups. What kind of things do you put into Facebook groups? Are these like the sites where you sell books or more discussion groups?
Well, I have my author page. I have my fan page, which is a closed group. Then I have my street team page, and that's a secret group.
Right.
Those three pages are the ones that we take care of things. Now, the street team is only myself, my two PAs, and two other ladies. One of them lives in Liverpool, and the other one lives in London. And they create more little teasers for me.
Good.
But, again, they send them to me and tell me, what do you think of this? And I'll be like, oh, I love that. And, you know, go ahead and do it. They'll post it in different groups. But the two main PAs I have is Melinda Sue and Lynn Boiler.
Now the groups that they post them in, are you members of all these different Facebook groups?
They're different book groups, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all members of them. And there's thousands of those book groups out there. Some are public, some are closed, some are secret, but they post in all of them on a weekly basis.
Now, do you have any sense of between Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, do you have any sense of which ones like bring in the most sales or get the most attention, the most conversation?
I guess it depends on the time of the day, because I've noticed if you post anything on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, if you do it in the middle of the day, that's when you get more buzz, more of a buzz.
All these people are supposed to be working. They're fooling around.
I know. I guess when you have people working in an office, they, you know, turn around and get on their Facebook.
They just need a little break. It's like a coffee break.
Which is good for me.
Yeah, it's like a coffee break, but it's their social media.
Exactly. They'll give them their high for the day.
So that's the middle of the day is when you find a lot of action. That's good.
I find that's when you get the most traffic.
Yeah. Now, is that for across the platforms?
Across the board.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. I found recently that the beginning of the week, there's a lot more interaction. You get to Thursday and Friday, people are kind of, I don't know if they're just trying to get all the work they didn't do earlier in the week, or they're they're just sick of social media. I don't know. It just seemed to be a pattern, at least on the Facebook for me.
You know, when I have been part of a takeover, you see that there's more traffic on the takeovers during the week, especially on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
See? Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. So that's
you have more traffic then. Can't explain why, but
yeah,
that's
well,
just the way it is.
I don't know. I think people are, I don't know. There's some psychology there. I need to look that up. I need to know. I got to know those things. I'll share it on my Facebook page if y'all want to know. I'll figure that out.
Yeah, we did research.
Yeah, I need to do this because I'm curious now. Like, what is the pattern of that? Okay, tell us what your writing process is. Do you have a certain time of day you write? Do you like candles? Do you have a ritual that you follow to get into writing? Read the last few paragraphs. What is it that you do to get into your writing zone?
I do. I close everything off. I shut everything out. I turn on my playlist. My favorite band.
Oh.
I have two favorite bands, but my ultimate favorite band is One Republic.
Oh, cool.
And I use their songs a lot in this trilogy. I don't write out the lyrics, of course, I can't.
Yeah.
But I say the names of the songs. The song that has to do with Alexis and Aiden is called Secrets by One Republic.
Hmm.
That is the song that he used when he, you know, confesses his love for her, when he talks to her about how he feels. And that is Alexis's favorite song.
So you kind of wove that music into the story. I like that. That is cool. So you listen to it, and then it's also become part of the backdrop.
Part of the story.
Cool.
It is part of their life. It is part of my life. I love that song. One Republic is my ultimate favorite band.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it.
I do listen to my playlist while I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to put it up too high because then I start to kind of move to the music and then I forget about writing.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I don't listen to music when I'm
speaking
away.
I just have it at a reasonable level. And I do light a candle. I have to have my vanilla candle.
That's
lit.
Cool.
And if I'm running out of wick, I have to go to the store. I have to make sure I always have vanilla candles.
That is cool. Now, do you ever post pictures of like your writing space with the candle? And
I do.
You should.
And
yeah.
I have posted pictures of my main muse, who is David Gandy. He is, as I said, I've used different muses, but the main person that I have envisioned as being Aiden Stefan is David Gandy himself.
I don't know who that is, but I saw the pictures on your Facebook page, so now I do. And I approve. I approve of your taste. Good taste, Arlene.
He's actually British. He's not Italian, but, you know, he could pass for Italian.
Doesn't matter. In the picture, you don't hear his voice, so turn on whatever you want.
But in my head, I do.
Yeah. The Italian. Oh, that's funny. Okay, so then you have all this set up, and that gets you into the mood. It's like your space of writing. Now, do you write after, like in the evenings and weekends, just kind of when you fit it in, or do you get up really early and write?
I get up early. I get up an hour earlier than I really should, only because I answer messages. As I said, there's different fans that have actually message me or email me. So I respond to the emails or I respond to the messages. I check my author page on Facebook. I check my fan page on Facebook. I check Amazon. So I do get up an hour early to do that.
Right.
When I write is actually in the evenings and in the weekends.
Right, right.
I also have to have my glass of white wine.
Oh, she's got all this ambiance.
My wine.
Oh, I love this. Well, that's why you don't write in the morning, because you'd have wine before work and then you'd be in trouble. So
that would be a no-no.
That wouldn't go over well. And your boss might be listening, so he'll want to make sure the wine is after you're done, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
That's funny.
I don't think he would appreciate me going to work with a glass of wine.
No, I don't think you probably would enjoy it either. You'd be tired halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think we're ready for the lightning round. Suzanne, are you?
Yeah, I think we are.
All right, Arlene, are you ready to be lightning rounded?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Okay, you just answered this first question. What is your favorite band or artist?
One Republic. I love their music.
You're going to make me want to have to go listen to that today. Dang it.
Ryan Tedder is the bomb. I love him. Okay. Each singer for one replica.
Oh, yeah, that's what I figured. Left coast or right coast? You're like dead
left
center.
Coast.
You're left coast. Yes, you're dead center in Texas. What is your favorite? Go ahead.
I am in Texas, yes, but my heart is left coast.
Left coast. Well, that works. That works. What is your favorite writing spot?
In my office.
In your office. With your candle and
where
your
I can shut everything out.
Yeah, that's good. Are you a pantser or a plotter?
Plotter.
So you figure out the whole storyline and then write?
Yes. I do the outline first.
Yeah. Right.
The first book, I have to say I wrote by the seat of my pants. Second book, I outlined it.
You know, I've talked to a lot of authors, and that seems to be, you know, how a lot of people start is they just kind of wing it. But then you realize maybe in your second book that it's a lot easier to write when you know where it's headed.
Where you outline it exactly.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you know your characters as well better by then. You kind of have more of an idea of where you're going.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point.
Because if not, then your characters, as I said, my characters have basically taken over the storyline. I don't control it anymore.
Yeah.
They do. But I do outline. It's a give and take.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's kind of how it works. You come up with your plan, and then they come in and screw it all up.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like kids. It's like half my life. I don't know. You just deal with it. Okay, so if you could be transported back in time, where would you go?
Oh, goodness. I just answered that question yesterday. I'd be 15 again.
Oh, that's cool. Cute. I don't think you could pay me enough to be 15 again. Why would you want to go back there?
I had some really good memories back then.
Oh.
Would love to relive that year over and over again.
So you wouldn't go back to change something. You would just go back to, like, reminisce and be part of that great period of your life?
Yes.
Yeah.
But if it were to change something, I would go back to October 17th, 2013.
Oh. Was that when your son passed away?
That's the day that my son was killed by a drunk driver.
Oh. I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, that would be definitely a good place to go back and make him stay home that night or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, let's see. If you had a superpower, what would you want it to be?
Oh, wow. There's too many.
Well, you can pick one or two. I'll let you have that.
Okay, one or two. To be invisible and to be able to read your mind.
Oh, that's good. See, writers, these are two really good important things for writers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think you've already answered this one at the very beginning of the podcast, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Who inspires you?
My son, Eric.
Yeah. Eric.
Yeah.
That's a great answer. What is your favorite writing author moment so far?
A couple of weeks ago, I went to HEB, grocery store that we have here in Texas, and I was recognized. Oh. I was putting my favorite iced coffee in my cart. And a lady tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Excuse me." And I turned around and I looked at her and she goes, "You're Arlene Gonzalez." And I said, I looked at her and I didn't know whether to answer for her or not.
Are you going to hurt me?
Like, am I going to be summoned or something? I looked at her and I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "I love you." And she goes, "Look, mija, it's Arlene Gonzalez." And I guess it was her daughter. And she goes, "My mom loves you."
Oh.
And she loves your books.
That is
she talks
great.
About you all the time. So I said, "Oh, okay, thank you."
That is so cool. You're like a celebrity now.
Can I hug you? And I said, "I guess."
Aw.
So she gave me a hug. I gave her a hug. We talked for a minute, and she wanted me to tell her how the trilogy ended. And I said, "I can't tell you that." You're just going to have to wait till the third book comes out and you'll find out.
That's right.
With everybody else.
Plus, you haven't decided on the ending, so you couldn't tell her anyway, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. On that.
It's a mystery to all of us. So
yes, it is. It just depends on what Aiden and Alexis decide.
That is great. I love that. You're like a celebrity at the grocery store. How fun.
I walked out of that store with the biggest grin on my face. People must have thought that lady's laughing by herself.
Yeah, that's great, though. Oh, that kind of changes you.
I walked out with the biggest grin. I ended up forgetting some things that I was going to get, but that was okay. I didn't know.
So distracted by your fame.
That was my aha moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. What is one thing that you'd wish you'd been told about being a writer?
How much research you have to do.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, you know, being a writer, you have to know what you're writing about. You can't talk, for instance, at a restaurant. If you're going to name the restaurant, you have to know what they're actually serving on the menu. Because say a reader of yours has been to that restaurant or has been on that street, and they know that that's not what they serve at that restaurant.
Yeah.
So you need to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You got to build credibility with your readers. Absolutely.
Exactly. You have to know what you're talking about. If not, if you're just flying by the seat of your pants and you say something wrong, there is readers out there that will check you on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They will. And I'm thinking that, too, like as you're writing about this top male model, you probably had to look into the modeling industry and how that works and some of the companies. And yeah.
With great joy.
Here, let me check out some more of these half-naked men. I mean, models. This is where...
And you just cannot ever get too much eye candy.
I agree. All right, last question. Which book do you wish you had written?
The book that I will be writing later on.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
The Story of My Life.
The Story of Your Life.
My first husband, how I lost my son, and a part of my life that no one knows about yet.
Oh.
I was in a very abusive marriage. My second marriage was very abusive.
Oh.
I was married for 16 and a half years, and I was beaten on a daily basis.
Oh, no.
That is the book that I am going to be writing later on.
Oh, wow. That'll be an emotional release, you know, kind of therapy to get all that out, I think. And interesting for people that have read your work. It certainly adds I'm sure it adds a depth to your writing that, you know, a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, it's all going to be true. So it's going to take me some time to write it because I will have to relive some really dark days.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty brave of you. So are you, is that something you're going to be writing soon, or is that just like wish list type thing?
That will be something that I write after the next trilogy that I'm writing.
There you go. Get the fun stuff out of the way.
The only people that know about it so far are the publishers.
Ah.
So.
Well, now everyone listening to the podcast, we all know now.
We all know about it now.
Secrets out, Arlene. Secrets out. Yeah,
and that's fine. That's the book that I wanted to write in the very beginning, but it was still too new. It was still too hard, and I tried to write it. I just couldn't get through a scene without sobbing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now that you've written more too, the writing part won't be hard for you. It'll just be the reliving and the emotional part, but you've got the writing part down. You've been doing that for a while, so it might make it easier.
Yes. Actually, this next month, July, will be 1 year that I've published the first book.
Yay!
Wow, congratulations!
Year anniversary.
You've done a lot. You've done a lot in that year. I'm impressed.
I have. I'm surprised. I'm in awe. I'm amazed. As I said, I'm still pinching myself.
That's great, though. What a fabulous year, and to honor your son in the process and kind of get all these other ideas of trilogies out. I mean, that's a lot to do in a year. It took me 10 years to write my first book, so that blows me away.
Yeah, and I've told many people, you have my son to thank for this because I'm doing it in honor of his life. I did want to write ever since I was young.
Yeah.
But
that just gave me the push.
Things come up in life and you just don't get to it. But I'm doing this to honor him. People need to thank him for it.
Yeah. Well, you've done a great job with that. And I think it's a great way to keep you going and to, you know, inspire you to do your best as well, you know.
And I am trying.
Yeah. Sounds like you're doing a great job at it.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, Arlene, this has been a great conversation. I've loved interviewing you. I know Suzanne, who's been a little quiet this day, but
yeah,
she's
I'm sorry,
here.
But I have really enjoyed it. It's been wonderful.
Yes. Great getting to know you.
I have too. I've loved talking to you. Both
good.
Of you.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us on Blondie and the Brit. Please join us next week where we welcome Yunir Bello. He is the author of The Breakup Recipe. We interviewed him a year ago, and we're revisiting that podcast. It's called Naked Marketing. Don't miss it. It's great. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.